You're listening to Rocket Knight.
Yeah, yeah. Are you ready? I'm gonna take you to a place where lights never dim. Bring your mother, your brother, and your best friend. I'm gonna show you where they dance out in the street. They'll tell you all about your body heat. Not gonna talk about it, just gonna do it. Get on down, if you feel up to it. Get on down.
This is Charisse with Rocket Knight Magazine, and we are here talking today with John Armstrong of The Speed of Sound. The band is based in Manchester, UK. They've been around since 1989, and they have come out with a trilogy of music called A Cornucopia. So we're going to talk about the different songs coming out of A Cornucopia. Okay, John, what is a cornucopia? What is this trilogy that you guys are putting out?
It's big. I mean, that's the whole point. That's why it's called a cornucopia. It is an absolutely bursting cone of fresh fruit and goodies and harvest produce. And the album itself, as a whole, it's 38 tracks. It's big, and
it's a lot of music.
It felt, that's the right word, as the umbrella phrase to cover it all. Within that, it is three separate entities, three separate albums with their own personalities, but they're linked, and that's why it's three things, but it's one thing simultaneously together. It's a cornucopia. It's a physical thing. There's a vinyl issue and there's a CD issue, and they're both three discs. If you add it all up, it's actually 2 hours. But the intention is, because they're separate albums, you don't have to listen to it in 2 hours. You can if you want, and that's a good experience. But if you want smaller segments, that's fine too. It works. They have separate personalities, so that it feels complete if you just listen to one of them.
Well, what are their names? You have three different names, and does each album have its own concept or theme?
Sort of. I mean, they're different views of the same thing. Mm-hmm. So the three names, you've got Minerva, you've got Victory, and you've got Bounty. They're all goddesses. And yeah, so Minerva, she sort of grew out of the Greek Athena and mutated through Minerva into the Britannia figure. So Minerva doesn't have a trident, mm-hmm. and she doesn't have a shield with a Union Jack on it. But essentially she became Britannia, and she's a goddess of strategic warfare rather than gung-ho warfare, which would be Mars. She's sort of more subtle than that. She's quite belligerent, and the feel is kind of, it's a bit angsty, it's a bit angry, but it's really belligerent, and it's independent music. And the whole three major label system, they just stomp all over everything else. They blast it out of the way. They've got all the money, they've got all the megaphones, they own all the magazines or have fingers in all the pies for all the major radio stations. They just blast everything else out of the way. And that's basically, we're kind of sticking two fingers up at that.
A lot of the music that you do is basically social commentaries, protest music, you could even call it.
And it most definitely is. And Minerva fits in with that. I mean, the first track on the whole thing, and also the first track on Minerva, if you play that one first, is called West Wind. And if you sit here in Northwest Europe, the prevailing wind is from the west. It blows straight across the Atlantic, straight over Ireland because it's not very tall, and then hits us and just carries on, and it pushes everything else out of the way. And that's, again, where the concept links in. So it's the West Wind is cultural imperialism, if you want, and it's sort of bringing the stuff from Universal.
Well, Western civilization, everything seems to move west. Even
as a bigger thing, yeah. It's just blasting everything else out of the way, and crushing the weeds of independent thought. And that's kind of, yeah, that sums up the elements of Minerva.
Your music, the lyrics are very edgy, and some people would maybe even deem it controversial, but I guess that's the beauty of being independent. You can do and write whatever you want to.
There's no one saying you can't do that.
Exactly.
Technically there is, because I could do that as well. I could say, I can't do that, but I don't generally. Self-editing? Yeah, but I think from a quality perspective rather than a content one. If I think it's a good idea, I'll run with it.
What's interesting about the speed of sound music is it's bouncy. The melodies are bouncy. You could even say it's kind of power pop, psych rock. It covers a lot of genres, but the message is biting. If you really listen to it,
a pop sensibility.
I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I mean, it's melodic.
I think it's important. It's important to be listenable. There's very little point having something to say.
Yeah.
If people can't listen to it because it's just unlistenable, which some music is, that's okay. If people want to do that, it's fine. But I like to be able to be catchy and, to pull and hook with things going on. And sort of musically as well, as a band, we operate sort of on two sort of levels. It's floaty and pleasant and nice, but it crunches at the same time. And, I think that's important too. It's like a sort of power jangle rather than straight rock or just floaty pop. It's crushing both things together and making something else.
The topics are very now. I mean, I think one of the songs is called Clickbait.
Yes, it is. And that's exactly what it's about. It's as soon as you open the internet, you're confronted with all this gibber and stuff that is just trying to distract you and trying to pull you and drag you down and just either distract you totally, which is what they're trying to do, or just fill your head with total garbage. It's really annoying. That's one of the more punkier and sprightly pieces in the whole thing.
So easy, you won't believe how this man
I first met you years ago, I think you used to say the speed of sound was, quote, mod.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of who in mm-hmm. how I play guitar. Mm-hmm. And the small faces and the chords were both the two main reasons that I thought, I'm going to start playing guitar. This looks a good idea. It looks fun. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of a lot of the 60s feel is still there because it's accessible and it's melodic and it's enjoyable to listen to, but it still has a bit of oomph, a bit of power to it.
There's definitely a retro feel to the music, but it's funny, the topics are very now, very in the millennium.
Well, it's future retro modernist. That's what we call it.
That's so exactly what it is.
It
You're
will
right.
Be retro in the future, but it's kind of modern now. It's not supposed to make sense. It's it's future retro modernist, but that's where it's coming from. It's Louder Than War said it's a 60s heartbeat powered by new wave, blood, and yeah, it is. There's a lot of 60s.
Well, the jangly guitars
we mix all those different influences together, because the rest of the band we all listen to different stuff. The other John Broadhurst, the drummer, he's really into Rush and a lot of just different music. Anne Marie, Foo Fighters is her favorite band, if you ask her. Kevin, he's the Rolling Stones and Northern Soul. That is basically he's the most restricted listener out of the whole band. But he's pulling something in that the others don't have there. And Henry, I mean, he writes sort of cinematic piano pieces. So it's, again, it's all very different things being pulled in. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you want to make something different, mm-hmm. something that hasn't been done that way before. Mm-hmm. That's the sort of exploration aspect of music is the thing that I find the most attractive. It's just finding new things and trying new things together.
You have three albums worth of songs. When did you write all of these? Is this stuff that you've been doing through the years or the last couple of years?
5 years, basically. So I started writing it while we were still recording the previous album, Museum of Tomorrow. October 2019, I had a week off, in inverted commas, and went to Portugal and sat on the hotel balcony with a pair of sunglasses and a massive pad of A4 paper and a packet of biros. And we did other stuff during the daytime as well, went out day trips, et cetera, et cetera. But I came back with 16 songs.
You were prolific. That is a lot.
They've been sitting there waiting to come out. I keep a notebook going with phrases, weird rhymes that may or may not have been done before. I'm not sure anyone has rhymed Richard Strauss with Slaughterhouse before, but I've done that on one in here as an example. So, yeah, it's sort of sitting there waiting to come out, and it's just, you've got that time. There's nothing else going on. Your mind's clear. Go, write them. And, so I do tend to write them in batches. It's frequently I'll do more than one in a day. Because the time's there and the stuff has been sitting and percolating and it's more or less ready to come out, but you just keep a lid on it. Sometimes it's like a load of little puppies jumping up at your legs saying, do me, do me, do me. But you've got to just park it until the time's ready, because then it just comes out naturally. There was one, as a second track on Minerva SS100X, I actually was writing another one, got totally distracted and wrote that one instead. And that was fresh. That wasn't in the notebook. Just sitting there on the balcony, looking down, and a car drove past. But it was an open-top Lincoln Continental.
That must be some kind of magic and balcony thought, you have there.
That's weird. That's a 1960s American car, and I'm in Portugal. And, oh, by the way, it's the JFK assassination car, and I'm six floors up. I've got the same view. So that's just where that one came from. The first line is a Lincoln Continental. It just drove past, and because it did, and it just carries on from there. I mean, it's about conspiracy theories and how they've gone totally mainstream, and it's difficult to find someone who isn't kind of infected with them.
Continental, it just drove past. It was a convertible, but it was brown by black. No one inside it wore a pink pillbox hat. Sixth floor, that got me thinking about that school bookstore. There's a warehouse, not a shop. Ellie Joe and that shop.
Seems everybody's suspicious of mostly the governments where they live. It seems there's so many kind of crazy, conspiracy theories. So
I mean, there are a lot of crazy governments, and they've been doing a lot of very daft things, and that does kind of encourage it. But it's with the Kennedy thing, people just don't seem to want to accept the possibility of an unplanned random event.
They always think there's something behind
it. There has to be more to it than that. And, a lot of people get shot in America every week, let alone every
don't year. We know it every and day here,
For some reason, it becomes difficult to accept that one of those people could be the president. so that there has to be a massive plot drawn up from it. I mean, over here in the UK,
stabbings. You guys have a lot of stabbings lately, and
we have. Yeah. But I mean, it's with the royal family. People seem to think it's easier to believe that the Queen was a lizard, and
the lizard people. Yeah,
yeah, and there are huge conspiracies going on than to think that they've actually been done over by a party that they voted for. It removes the responsibility from the individual.
Well, they have a lot of cognitive dissonance. You lose faith. Yeah.
Yeah. And some of it may start as just willful maliciousness, flat earth. Mm-hmm. But it escalates and draws on, and you become involved in all of, none of them, no conspiracy theories. No, mm-hmm. Just chuck them all out. Waste of time, mm-hmm. Waste of brain space.
So we talked about Minerva. The other albums, do they have a different kind of feel or theme, or do you still talk about controversial topics and topical issues?
Always talk about controversial.
Okay, I guess so. That's your thing.
Yeah. I mean, Victory, the second one, if you played them in sequence, or the first one, if you play it first, it's looking at the same aspects as Minerva is, but rather than being belligerent, it's defining its own success, which is why it's called Victory. So sort of mere existence is a revolutionary act and is a success. If you haven't been crushed yet, you're winning. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Victory sort of looks at the same three label thing and says, yeah, but I'm doing what I want. I'm making the art that I want to make. And that's a success. You should celebrate it. So it's much more, I mean, there's a sense of joy through everything that Sweeter Sound does. But yeah, its Victory is much more joyous in its actual approach.
It's more uplifting, not as dark. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a track on Victory called Underground, which is about underground music. It's sort of the focal point, theory wise, that draws all the threads of the albums together. And the chorus on that is we are the underground. It doesn't mean us, it doesn't mean the five people in the band, it means everyone in the universe making independent music or independent art. It's collective. We together, we are doing it, and it's what we want to do. We're not trying to be famous. We're not trying to make herds of money out of it. We're just trying to make music, and we're doing it.
That's meaningful, too.
Yeah.
Because your music always, like I said, it has some kind of message, or there's a lot of metaphors in the lyrics. It's very heady. It's not something that you have to think. You know, you don't just lightly.
Yeah. I mean, it's not compulsory.
It's for
you
thinking
can just
people.
Sit there and drift.
Exactly.
But if you do listen to it, there's a lot there. And I think that's because I always start with the lyric. That's the beginning. I think most songwriters will start with a melody and then attach words to that, whereas it's the lyric first with the Speed of Sound. And the other thing that does is it lets the songs themselves find their own sound. Mm-hmm. So there's an awful lot of variation in style across the whole album.
I have a question that I've been wondering, and it's kind of off the topic, but on it. You guys have been around since 89. Do you have basically the same lineup, and have you always been political and basically protest music that you guys write?
Let's start at the beginning. 17th of September, which is actually tomorrow as we're speaking now, but
will
be in the past. That's our 35th birthday. That's the day we walked into the recording studio and recorded our first EP. So at that stage, there were four people in the band, and I'm the only one who's been consistent over the past 35 years. But, I mean, we've had 19 people The Fall have had 66. So 19's not many, really.
Yeah.
Over 35 years. And the lineup hasn't changed since 2018. So even if you just look at that, it's...
That's the number of years,
It's 6 years. As we count, which, I mean, most bands don't last three. So
true.
That's quite a bit of stability there. So, I mean, it's... most of the 10 of them have been drummers. It's almost Spinal Tap, but it's not. They are, none of them have exploded or had...
Did they explode? I was going to say.
But they are the most difficult people to find because there are less drummers than there are pretty much anybody else. Mm-hmm. And we need the right one because it's not just 4-4 straight rock. Mm-hmm. Go for it. Bracket, I don't see why not. Bracket. Mm-hmm. On Victory. It's under 2 minutes and it is constantly changing time signature from 4-4 to 2-4 and back again. John the drummer told me there's actually 120 time changes.
Oh my goodness.
Less than 2 minutes.
It sounds like jazz.
It doesn't feel that. Mm-hmm. It's a pattern and it feels like it's a repeating pattern, partly because it's moving so fast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and that's it. We need someone who could play in a jazz band.
Yeah, exactly.
And that really restricts the drummers that you could be using. That there are, some of the drummers that we had were just uncomfortable with playing some of the songs because it's not easy. It's not straightforward. So, 19 people.
Mm-hmm. Well, has it always been protest music or music that's meaningful?
Yes, basically.
Since the beginning.
If you step back a couple of years from that, there was a band I was in 1987 and I was writing some of the songs with that, and some of those sort of carried forward into the early days of the Speed of Sound. And it's protest music too. The oldest one is There's No One There, which was actually on the Averaging Changes album. We didn't record that until 2016. That was 1983. That was more teenage angsty because I was a teenager when I wrote it.
So
that kind of fits. But it's that, there's always been protest music. I mean, there was some straight gung-ho angst garage punk in the early days too. But there's always been protest music there.
I have another question. Do you guys actually perform live?
We haven't since before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. It's kind of difficult to do both things at the same time. Mm-hmm. And when you're not making herds of money out of things, it's difficult to get 4 or 5 people together to do a rehearsal anyway. And
because everybody has day jobs, things going on,
stuff that they need to do. And if you've got one person, it's fairly easy to organize. If you've got two people, it's actually 4 times as complicated. Mm-hmm. If you've got three, it's 8 times as more complicated. It's because they all have other people that they're connected to.
Well, and some of you are in other bands too. You were in Weimar.
All of us, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, we're all doing other things as well. And it's a giant, huge project to be able to do that and gig at the same time is basically impossible. I'm not ruling it out playing live, but we'll have a look at it next year and see where we're at, because this year it's just mind is focused on
release. the year is really almost over, so you're releasing one more album. And when is the third one coming out? Do you know?
That'll be in November. That's going up to streaming. But sort of promotion-wise, I'm still doing a video a month through till April 2025.
And each of your singles have videos that accompany them?
Yes.
That people can see online?
Yeah, they do. There's an awful lot on our YouTube channel. And, and they're all worth a look because they're pretty good videos as well. Because we're all in different places. We're all doing different things. It's another thing to get people together for a photo session or to get people together to do a video. You could be doing something else with that time. So, we're not actually in all the recent videos. It's animation and various other techniques.
We're actually almost out of time.
Yeah, you can find us everywhere on the internet. We're pretty much using the same handle everywhere. It's The Speed of Sound UK. And that's also the address for the website. It's thespeedofsounduk.com. Physical releases, they're going through Big Stir Records, which a great label in California. So you can find the physical releases on there. Their website, you'll find it. If you're not in America, it's cheaper to buy it on Bandcamp because the postage is different. Yeah, basically digital releases, depending which one it is, it'll either be on the Big Stir or on our own, The Speed of Sound, on Bandcamp. You can find them both. But if you go to our website, it's all signposted. That's the best place to start. Thespeedofsounduk.com.
You're on Spotify too? You're on streaming stuff that people could just listen to.
So yeah. You can just push the button and play us. And the Speed of Sound. You'll find us.
All right. Well, thanks for talking to Rocket Knight. And we look forward to hearing more great music out of The Speed of Sound.
Thank you. It's been great. All right. To chat.
Okay.
Thanks, Charisse.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Time's out. All right. Bye-bye.
Fab stuff.
You're listening to Rock at Night.
The introductory song, Get On Down, is from blues artist Billy Bass Alford. Look for his music at ReverbNation.com.